Hello?
Is this Commander Elliston, permanent officer of the day?
Yeah. Quarter to four?
This is Lieutenant McIntyre, sir. Temporary OD. I'm in the administration building. There are two security officers here with a patient. A civilian. Huh? Oh, just a minute, sir.
I don't believe it. Not a quarter to four in the morning. Nobody.
This is Captain Blankenship here, Naval Intelligence. We have a highly classified emergency on our hands, and we need you, Commander, immediately.
Give me 10 minutes.
Beyond Midnight.
Commander Ellison,
right?
No, I'm Captain Blankenship. This is Captain Trumbull, security officer from the AEC lab in Livermore. And this is our patient, Mr. Joseph Vitale. No, we want maximum security on this. This man is sick. Or rather, we have good reason to believe he's going to be sick. Very sick. And what he has is classified. Highly.
Look, Commander, maybe you'll listen. All right, I was feeling a little sick and dizzy, but I feel fine now. And I got a load of produce waiting to be picked up in Tracy and brought back to San Francisco before the market opens. I mean, 2 more hours, they'll wilt on me.
Mr. Vitale.
Look, I've already paid for those vegetables. I stand to lose a lot. I can't afford to lose that kind of money. I got a wife and a child. Payments on the truck, I mean...
He seems all right. What's the nature of his ailment?
Prolonged exposure to radioactive material.
That's right. In Livermore. Tell him it's an extreme urgent.
Well, I see some powder or something in his hair. Charcoal, well, ashes.
He's aspiring, yes. Yes, he has to be transferred now, at once.
The Hunter's Point.
The Naval Radiological Defense Laboratory.
An entire decontamination unit. Rush, Oakmont Road.
One of the new private wards. Can I leave these arrangements to you?
You can.
You understand about security? We have a team of specialists. The Marine Guards will see to all privacy.
Tell them to wear masks and gloves. Destroy them by burning immediately. Bury the ashes. They'll make you comfortable now, Mr. Vitale. Try not to worry.
Yeah, fine. I felt a little faint for a while, so I lose my whole living for this. My job,
Mr.
I mean...
Mr. Vitale. Joseph, I'm afraid...
Yeah, okay, Mr. Clemmer. You know what you're doing.
Sure.
Why does my truck have to stall in the underpass? Rain and... I mean, why? Now it's all troubling.
Trumbull notified me less than an hour ago.
I'm sorry, Dr. Clement. It was all so secret they couldn't tell me a thing about it. I'm supposed to be concerned in some way, and yet I don't know a thing about any of it. Now, I mean, I know Joe Vitale's a truck driver, and
I'll give you the details. You ask the lieutenant to leave the room, Commander.
All right, McIntyre.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you will need to know anyway, Commander. There's an Atomic Energy Commission installation at Livermore, California. Small peasant town in the hills east of San Francisco Bay. Like every plant, they have waste products. But their waste is radioactive. Tools which become contaminated. Rags, empty containers, fission products such as hot fuel elements no longer usable, and byproducts of experiments that must be discarded.
Uh-huh.
Now, some of the more dangerous material is stored in specially selected areas, diluted in millions of gallons of water in large underground concrete tanks. The rest is carefully gathered together, put into shielded containers filled with concrete, and when enough of them have been accumulated, they're loaded onto trucks and driven to one of the ports on San Francisco Bay, usually Oakland, loaded onto barges, taken far out to sea, and dumped.
Last night, the load was a special one.
The residual ash of an experiment we felt too dangerous to continue. Dumping at sea was the quickest and least risky method of disposal available to us. So the load was sent late at night in a single fast truck.
By the back road.
In this case, Oakmont Road.
As I got the story, there's a railroad underpass along Oakmont Road that dips down. Now, it had been raining heavily, and As the truck driver approached the underpass, he saw a man at the entrance waving at him. And beyond him, another truck. It was Thor. The man was Vitali. He'd taken off his shoes and rolled up his trousers. There was a couple of feet of water in the underpass.
The driver was going fast.
It was a narrow road. He skidded and hit the side. Some of the containers he was carrying bounced off the truck. They broke open. Some of the contents sprayed over Vitali. The driver wasn't hurt.
You see, there was a lot of spraying water, and Vitali might not have felt anything go on him anyway. He said he was all right when the driver asked. It was a lonely road, and both trucks were inoperable. Vitali stayed while the driver went for help.
He called the plant. They brought a Geiger counter, and it showed that both trucks, and especially Vitali, were highly radioactive. They took what measures they could. It wasn't easy to persuade Vitali to strip off and scrub himself in the ditch. Then they brought him along here.
Is he badly contaminated?
Yeah, I'm afraid he is.
The level of this room is well above normal background count just from his expelled breath where he walked. You know, the rug down there is contaminated beyond the safety level. Your hands should be thoroughly scrubbed, nails trimmed, and discard your clothing.
What in heaven's name was in the container?
I can't tell you. That's classified.
What about his chances?
I can't answer yet. It'll take time. There's a man at Berkeley, Klein. He's one of the best in the world on acute radiation sickness. He'll come over. He's got a completely new approach, and this will be his first opportunity to try it.
He's had several showers and hard soap scrubbing. They've cut all his hair up, shaved him all over. He said he was fine and wanted to go home. Then he started to be ill and said he wasn't so fine. He's sleeping now.
Lines substituted the contaminated blood. Now, he also has a list of consultants. One in Switzerland, two in Japan, one even in the Antarctic.
They've burned the clothes and the hair, and they're making tests on the ashes. Tali's temperature, 102.
Yes, you can see him, Commander. You'll need a signature from the department. Now, please don't be too shocked, though. He's rather frightening to see. He's got a deep violet red all over.
Hello, Mr. Vitali.
Hi.
How do you feel?
It's crazy. They told Madge, my wife, I had this accident. You see, they had me in here for observation. Thinks I hit my head or something. No different next time she sees me, no more. I mean, look, I look like I'm all sunburned or something. Everything's swollen up. I'm kind of hot through all inside.
Oh, it's the... It's
on the Alameda Naval Airfield, huh? I used to want to fly jets, but I got a life now, a good life. Ever see the old produce market in San Francisco?
Never, no.
You laugh. All night long, the big rigs come in from the valley. Artichokes, lettuce, spinach, carrots, fresh, so wet from the field. And they dump them on the sidewalks, and those crazy paisanos run around bidding on the stuff. They yell and wave their hands. By 6 a.m., the street's empty again. I'll be glad to get back.
Sure, Mr. Vitali.
Name's Joe. Call me Joe, Amanda.
Sure, Joe.
Well, I'm sure hot. Like I was sitting on a... On a...
Temperature 103, fourth day. Antibiotics administered intravenously. Bone marrow drawn from chest area. First sign of deterioration of bone marrow.
Yeah, he's strong.
He's trying very hard. There was a definite rise in the white blood cell count.
He's always hot. So hot, he says.
Yeah, I know. We've packed him in ice. Tomorrow we're moving his wife to an adjacent ward. She wants to be near him. She can't see him, of course. Perhaps you'd like to talk with her?
Doctor, Vitali.
I'm coming.
I know they won't let me see him. Joe mentioned you a lot. He thinks you're a gentleman.
I'm honored. The Naval Academy made me a gentleman by congressional act. But Joe, he comes by it naturally.
He really is, you know. He's kind and gentle. He's strong and he knows it. But he never takes advantage of his strength. Secret. We classified. A treatise on the effect of gamma rays on bioplasm. Living cells. They found it hard to tell me, but I'm glad they did. Because I have to know exactly what's going on. The cause of the accident? Were they really going to dump that stuff in the ocean?
Yes. Until they find some way to, launch this kind of stuff into outer space or something. Dumping it in the ocean is about the only way.
How can you be certain it's going to stay there, on the bottom? Something might happen. Something might corrode it, or break it up, and contaminate the fish or something. Well, how can you be certain it's safe?
It's in heavily shielded containers filled with concrete. They dump it far out, in deep holes.
Deep holes? It'll get out. One day. This is natural.
I'll keep you posted, Mrs. Vitali.
Acute jaundice. Liver and spleen breakdown. The temperature's 104. The drop in the white blood cell count is ominous. Hey, listen, I think... No, medical man must never admit...
The new treatment, this man Klein.
This is the sixth day, Commander, and so far Klein's methods have proved completely unsuccessful. Others have been tried, too. The injection of uncontaminated bone marrow. Taken directly from donors, no good. He can't tolerate it. He's blind, incidentally.
Oh. Will that be for
all good? Does it matter, Commander? How long is always going to be? Sanders says another 3 days. Personally, I'm not so optimistic. But don't quote me, of course. If you do, I'll deny it.
Does he still talk?
He still makes sounds, moves, just a human burn packed in ice. But he has the magnificent will to live. You see, we've tried to evaluate the relative dose of radiation. This is done by computing the original amount of material in the total experiment from which the waste originally came, the mass, rate of emission of neutrons, gamma rays, and so on, and finally the amount in each waste container. He ought to have been dead 3 days ago.
They can't tell for sure, Mama, except that he's getting better. It'll just take time, Mama. You see, you'll just have to be patient, Mama. You see? Huh? Oh, it wouldn't do any good trying to explain it all, Mama. The words, they're just so hard. I know, Mama, but you see, a lot of bad things happen in the world. It's just awful, I know, but bad things happen to Joe, and... Huh? I promise, Mama, you have to understand. I wouldn't keep you in the dark, Mama, I promise. I mean, you have to believe. I mean, if you can't believe me...
The last comparable case of Los Alamos resulted in death. In little over 72 hours after exposure.
Well, Klein's treatment's working, then.
We'd like to think it can succeed.
But he's rallying. He's taken all his radiation in, and he's...
He wants to live. His vital force is overwhelmingly powerful. But he's only flesh and blood, Commander. Only flesh and blood. I'd appreciate it if you'd obtain Mrs. Vitali's signature on this. You need the permission, if... Well, before Klein can go ahead with his final experiments, best to have it in advance.
Permission to perform autopsy.
Oh, Commander Ellison.
Mrs. Vitale.
I'm sorry to have to bring you this. Before you read it, may I explain why I'm here? Why your signature on this paper is so necessary to us now?
You came this morning, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But you were in the chapel.
I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's perfectly all right. May I explain? You've been reading, Mrs. Vitale. You said you wanted to know all about what's happened. Well, you know that the body can stand only so many wrenches, the unit measurement for radiation. About 600 wrenches in one dose to the total body is usually fatal. Your husband absorbed many times that amount, Mrs. Vitale. They know that now. Mrs. Vitale, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Yes. Joe is dead.
No.
Joe is dead. His heart still beats. He can feel pain deep inside. He breathes, but he's dead. He died 8 days ago, standing on a road trying to get help so he could push his truck out of the puddle. Because he was proud of his job. That he felt it a point of honor to bring back the vegetables fresh and crisp and green. To feed people. It pleased him. He liked people.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Vitale. I don't mean to be callous, but what you say is true. From the amount of total body ionizing radiation your husband absorbed, yes, death is inevitable. He should have died several days ago. They believe your husband has lived this long because of a new treatment devised by one of the specialists, Dr. Klein. If this is true, then it means a great deal of hope for any future victim of radiation sickness.
How am I going to explain to Mama? She can't understand what's happened to her son. She doesn't know what radiation is. She's never heard of a gamma.
They can't complete their work, though, Mrs. Vitale, unless they perform the final and very special... Very difficult experiments, you see. But, of course, they'll need your permission for this... Your signature on this paper.
No. No more.
Mrs. Vitale.
No! I haven't seen him since the third day. But I know what agony he suffered. The indignity, the distortions, the eating away... God gave him a perfect body, strong and beautiful and filled with love. And for me, a child, for life. This is what kept him alive, his love, and my prayers. Do you think they can find that with their instruments? Have they learned how to measure a man's immortal soul? They who defile God's perfect good. Just as they're defiling the earth, pouring their filth into the ocean bed. Contaminating the very womb of life. With every rain, their pollution comes down. Every breath we take, we draw into ourselves their greatest gift. Ramping him 90, refusing our life path, blasting our genes.
Will you take this, Mrs. Vitale? Please.
No. They've had it. 8 days they've had it. But when he dies, he's mine. And I won't let them ever touch him again. Ever!
Mrs. Vitale, please don't think I'm pressing you to sign a paper. You have every right to refuse. But I want to say this. The material your husband was exposed to was a byproduct of one of the primal forces of the universe.
The potential for evil locked in these forces is too awful even to contemplate. And yet, Mrs. Vitale, you believe in a good and just God as we all do. You cannot believe he gave us our inquisitive, searching minds only to enable us to discover new and more horrible ways of destroying one another? There has to be another nobler purpose behind this force. And there is. This is what they were doing at Livermore with the material Joe was exposed to. Thinking new ways to develop the power of that force for the good of all people. But this is a divided world, Mrs. Vitale. Another nation also has this force, and they deny that there's any God but their own might. And because of them, we all stood on that road 8 days ago with your husband. Whatever Dr. Klein can learn from Joe's tremendous struggle, we, the people he likes so much, we will be the ones who will benefit. We are the ones who survive.
It appears there's some hope that this request is premature. Perhaps later she might agree.
I'll make you ask her another request for authorization.
And you want me to try again later?
You will, Commander. It might be some time yet. We may as well get some peace. I'll call... Thank you.
Vitale is dead. The ninth day, 12 minutes past 2 in the a.m. The ninth day, almost to the hour, and still Vitale is put on a lonely road watching an approaching truck, arms waving. Man's immemorial gesture for us.
Well, she's not here, Commander. She left right after they told her the news. About her husband, I mean.
Left? Did she say where she was going?
Why, to the chapel, sir.
Oh, yes. Of course. Miss Vitale? The door's open. The chapel's never locked.
I know. I was thinking. I hope he'd come.
I very deeply regret your death, Mrs. Vitale.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.